why the Syrian civil war is also causing hardship for its neighbors. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Secretary of State Kerry is set to meet today with his Russian counterpart to talk about diplomatic approaches to ridding Syria of chemical weapons. There's also a humanitarian crisis brewing in neighboring countries trying to absorb refugees. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports it's taking a human and economic toll.
Senator Lindsey Graham was on CNN this week, where he recalled a recent conversation with the King of Jordan.
He's told me and Senator McCain, I've got 600,000 Syrian refugees, 40,000 new Syrian kids in Jordanian schools, and he's hanging on by a thread.
The king is under pressure because of the economic strain. Cortland Robinson is with the Center for Refugee and Disaster Response at Johns Hopkins. He says Jordanians see Syrians receiving better assistance than they get.
People say, why are we not getting anything? We're absolutely either destitute ourselves or we're even more impoverished because of this influx.
Aid groups like Mercy Corps try to strike a balance, says spokeswoman Cassandra Nelson.
We certainly are focusing in on the refugee population, but we also help the Jordanians that are suffering.
Sharing the humanitarian relief with poor Jordanians could help keep tensions from escalating further in an already volatile situation. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
There's a new fight that could have enormous implications for climate change in the American coal industry. The Obama administration reportedly wants to sharply lower the carbon dioxide coming from new coal plants. The Wall Street Journal says the only way to meet that standard is to use emerging new technologies, such as sequestering CO2 underground. The coal industry will see this as too expensive, and lobbyists and lawyers will be on the way. Now let's check the numbers. In London, the FT 100 is down 0.1% right now. S&P, Dow, and Nasdaq futures are all down right now. The British government plans to sell off its majority stake in the world's oldest postal service, the Royal Mail. It could raise more than $4 billion. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Almost 400 years old, the Royal Mail has proved the most difficult state-owned asset in Britain to privatise. Two previous governments have tried and failed. Even the great privatiser, Margaret Thatcher, balked at this one. But the present government has got a deficit to cut, and the Royal Mail needs investment. Email and texting have eaten into its letter delivery business, and it must beef up its package service. The UK Minister for Business, Michael Fallon.
There are investors out there who are ready and able to invest in this business, and today is the day that we're giving them the freedom, giving Royal Mail the freedom to go out there and raise the money it needs.
The Royal Mail's 150,000 workers will be given 10% of the shares, but the main postal union fears big job losses in the private sector, and it warns that the daily delivery of letters to every part of the country could be at risk. The union's threatening to overshadow the float with a national postal strike. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
5 years ago this weekend, Wall Street giant Lehman Brothers went bust. It was the moment that we looked into the financial abyss, then fell in. This week, we're looking at the lessons. Today, the subprime mortgage frenzy that led to Lehman. At the height of subprime, there were offices across the country devoted to one thing, selling subprime loans. Many of those loans were frauds. Loan officers altered pay stubs with whiteout and targeted people they knew couldn't pay, then sold bundles of these things to big investors such as Lehman Brothers. 5 years later, where are these lenders and bankers? Marketplace's David Weinberg looked into it.
It turns out that many of the employees at the bottom of the subprime food chain were already criminals, even before they started peddling subprime mortgages.
One of the disturbing things that we found is that a large number of the people that work in these places are probationers, parolees, very low-paid people that are just essentially, you know, picked out of, you know, Craigslist ads.
Elizabeth Henderson heads the real estate fraud unit of the district attorney's office in Orange County, which was home to four of the six largest subprime lenders in the country. When the market collapsed, many of these low-level employees who worked in boiler rooms, cold-calling homeowners, lost their jobs. Some went to work in other fields, but others simply found a new way to fleece homeowners.
And so those people then morphed when that market collapsed into loan modification mills. And we receive complaints every day about loan modification fraud. So it continues.
The DA has successfully prosecuted a handful of people involved in fraudulent lending. From 2011 to 2012, the DA made 15 convictions. Together, those cases involved 545 victims, whose losses totaled $173 million. But what about the people higher up the food chain, the Wall Street participants who packaged and sold fraudulent loans? Where are they 5 years after the collapse of Lehman Brothers?
And the answer to that is that overwhelmingly, they are simply where they were before, except that they're much wealthier.
William Black is a former bank regulator and an expert in white-collar crime. He and his colleagues at the Federal Loan Bank of San Francisco were instrumental in exposing corrupt members of Congress during the savings and loan crisis of the 80s and 90s. So it made sense that he was asked to testify before Congress in 2010. He explained to the Committee on Financial Services in detail how Lehman's collapse was the direct result of fraud.
It had an entire operation, Lehman Brothers, called Aurora, that specialized entirely in making liar's loans.
And Black pointed out, Lehman was the largest purveyor of liar's loans in the country. After his testimony, he was surprised that none of the committee members asked him any follow-up questions. To date, there's not been a single criminal prosecution of any Wall Street executives involved in the financial crisis. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
We're accumulating all our Lehman coverage at Marketplace.org. It has been 5 years, but it doesn't seem right to call it an anniversary. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.